Thank you. Hi, I'm Joe Sestak, a Pennsylvania boy who was fortunate to have worn the cloth of our nation for over 31 years in war and in peace, and I loved it. How could you not? You were the youth of America. Come aboard an aircraft carrier. There's 5,000 sailors. You know what their average age is? 19 and a half. I loved it. But I also loved it because this nation of mine invested in me for increasing command and responsibilities at sea. And it constantly trained me in what is integrity's values, service to country, to others above self, and accountability in answering for oneself. When ashore in between seagoing tours, they trained me for increasing positions also there. Send me first to Harvard University for a doctorate in economics and national security, not for the doctorate, but to be able to understand how does this nation best need to meld all the elements of our power for the peace and prosperity it needs. And so I would eventually be assigned to be President Clinton's Director of Defense Policy, where I was responsible to coordinate our nation's national security strategy that brought together all the elements of our power, the power of our economy, the power of our diplomacy, the power from our ideals, together with the power of our military and understanding the limitations upon it. But I most loved going to sea. I'll never forget walking out of the Pentagon one fateful day, and just after I'd walked out, minutes later, a plane slammed into that building. I rushed back and looked upon the scar that had been brought onto that building and our nation. Shortly thereafter, I found myself on the ground in Afghanistan for a very brief period, heading the Navy Strategic Anti-Terrorism Unit. And then I came out and was given the highest honor our nation can bestow upon anyone, to be asked to lead your sons and daughters in harm's way. And when my aircraft carrier battle group of 10,000 sailors, SEALs, and Marines arrived in the Arabian Sea, we all experienced what I'd seen across this vast global canvas of your United States Navy. There waiting for us was an international armada twice as large as ours, where nations had sent ships from all over the globe because, as the Minister of Defense said, America has been attacked and we will be there for you. We had the world with us against evil, because there in that distant sea was the realization that America's greatest power is its power to convene, to bring together nations and peoples of the world for a common cause that serves us all. And that is what America had been doing. Whether it was dire poverty or human rights atrocities, global recessions, or collective security agreements, we lit the flame of justice in a global concord. And then we elected presidents from John F. Kennedy to Ronald Reagan, who understood that it was this global concord that in turn provided for our peace, our prosperity, and our freedoms here at home. And that is why the retreat from a world would be so dastardly to our American dream, and why the sculpture that's closest to the Oval Office is not of an American, it's of a foreigner, to remind our president that we only want our freedom because of our allies and can only sustain it because of them. If there's any doubt that this global concord and our leadership of it is absolutely a prerequisite to our health, security, our way of life, it evaporates when you recognize there is nothing we can do by ourselves, absolutely nothing, even with the Green New Deal, even if it was to be accomplished in a decade, because 85% of all the greenhouse emissions come from abroad. We must convene the world for the dangers that are arising, whether it's climate change or the new birth of an illiberal world order, China. That is why I am first running. We need someone with the breadth and depth of global experience that actually understands how to convene the world wisely. Unlike what both Democrats and Republicans did when they voted for that tragic misadventure in Iraq, not understanding that militaries can stop a problem, they can never fix a problem. I doubt there's anybody here that thinks we fixed Iraq, but we did fix Iran. When we convene the world for economic and diplomatic sanctions and remove that war-fighting capability of nuclear weapons, and now we think we're going to fix it when we already had with our military? This nation needs, at a time of great change, from climate change as well as an illiberal world order, to have someone that values our allies together and someone who understands as commander-in-chief that when faced with a decision, of whether to use our military, he or she will understand that you best know how it will end before you even think that you should begin. I'll never forget that ultimately our peace and our prosperity is convened with those we work together in the world to prevent having to go to war. But second, I honestly believe that we not only need a president that understands how to go about the world at a change time of great change, we also need a president who can walk in the shoes of citizens here at home. That came to me one awful day as my wife and I stood at Walter Reed Military Hospital and watched as our then 4-year-old daughter was rolled out of surgery. We couldn't get the brain cancer, they said, and when asked, they replied, she may have 90 days, perhaps 9 months. But that little warrior fought on, and she beat that demon. And I need to become accountable to you. The citizens of this nation gave us, my wife and I, a healthcare plan that saved our daughter's life. So I stopped being an independent, went back to my nearly 2-to-1 Republican district where I'd been raised, and became a Democrat under a refrain, I'm a retired Navy admiral, running a national security that begins at home in health security. I was elected by 14 points as the second Democrat since the Civil War, and then I was reelected by 20 points. And despite having raised $3 million, I didn't spend a dime on one campaign ad. We learned how to disagree well. But they also knew that we kept our office open 7 days a week to 9 o'clock every night because we had to when that savage recession began. We saved over 800 homes from foreclosures, handled 4 times the constituency cases of the average congressional office because they were just like my crew on a ship. They were my people. I was called later the most productive congressman by the majority leader as I walked in the shoes of my constituents and passed 19 pieces of bipartisan legislation, the first movement of money into autism in 12 years, the first Elder Abuse Act in 19 years, but that's not the major issue. What I saw all in that, and I kept querying it, having come from the service, how can a government of the people be so unaccountable to the people, particularly as I watched 450 senators and congressmen take a lobbying job. Since 1998, those who had even voted for that war or dismantled the safeguards on Wall Street. As the median level of income of our working class has flatlined those 20 years, as I stepped back, I thought about it and thought about those politicians who voted for that tragic war in Iraq, and our invasion unleashed Shia against Sunni and Sunni against Shia, and it helped Saddam Hussein's former generals create ISIS because of us. And as it metastasized, it went throughout the Middle East into Africa and even copycat killings throughout Europe and Los Angeles. 2 decades of unaccountable consequences, and then those same politicians across the spectrum and over time remove the wall in the one place we definitely need a wall to keep greed out and accountability in. And when they took down that wall on the inaptly named Wall Street, it was left unfettered to destroy my constituency's lives. And not one politician has ever accounted for themselves to be accountable for either the carnage from that war or from that great recession. Trump is not the problem. He is the symptom of the problem, where Americans no longer believe that the system works for them. That is our Hobson's choice. Not just to elect a president, but to heal our country's soul with someone whom they feel will actually be accountable to them above party, above special interest, above oneself, or else we will never move the defining policies we need today. Take climate change, the gravest danger to mankind. How hard is it going to be when Saudi Arabia will use as much energy to power its air conditioning in one decade as it exports in oil today. And here at home, how can we not move into a carbon dividend? And other so much things that need to be done. But will this nation trust us? Think about childcare. When 6.5 million women moved into the workforce during World War II, our government provided childcare. Your U.S. military has the best childcare in the nation. Full paid family and medical leave benefits. Why aren't we doing that to empower our workforce? Think about college loans. I do think about it. Our government is going to make $127 billion this decade because it's charging the wrong interest rate and has been for decades off the backs of our students. Well, why aren't we saying only 5% of your income needs to go to pay off your loan? And by the way, for every year, but by the way, I want to focus with what a precision agronomist taught me the other day. What's your job? And she says, I'm the one who goes up and down a tractor measuring fields with GPS. And I said, that means our tractor is going to be wireless pretty soon, right? She said, yes. What happens to those workers? The gentleman or gentlelady we kicked out of the coal mine, the Trump supporter, the Clinton supporter, the laborers, because we spend less than any nation on labor training, 0.001% of our gross domestic product. They're the ones who should be empowered by the Democratic Party and the Republican. Why don't we have training for a lifetime like we do in the military? When the F-15 goes away, we don't kick you out. We send you for a train, the F-22, at the largest community college in the nation, the Air Force Community College. Step back and look at immigration. How can we not value them? Not just my father, but all of them that are already here. Women have had a birth rate that is lower than needed to replenish those who pass away every year since 1970. As I told someone in a parade who says, I believe in a wall, I said, I understand protecting our borders, but also our economy. We'd be in a population death spiral if it was not for the value of all immigrants. We need them to power our economy. Take infrastructure. We need $1 trillion paid for, because it would be $1.5 trillion in congestion cost if we don't do it. Take health care that I'm so intimately familiar with. Do you think I don't want to get where the VA is today? Rated by the New England Journal of Medicine as the best in 11 indices of health care, or equal to any private or Medicare health care plan or Medicare for all? Yes. But in the military, you learn piss poor planning gives piss poor outcomes. And so what you want to do is have what I voted for in Congress, and the Senate failed to stand up to the health industry and pulled out that health option. We need it in to become a transition of choice with milestones towards removing the healthcare industry that denied my daughter when her healthcare came back last year, which is why I am late into this race. Given again, single-digit odds to survive, that warrior stronger than me beat it again. But we got denied initially the one drug that might save her, $300,000. By the health industry. We got it, won an appeal, but I understand the goal, but how we treat people in trying to care for them, the 255 million on a private healthcare plan like me, we must keep that in mind. I could go on for small businesses that no one seems to care about, when majority of Americans work in small businesses, and the regulation on them is 40% more than large corporations, and venture capital try to get it invested in them. It goes to three major metropolitan areas, not down to Waterloo, Iowa. We need the mother's milk to have access to investments. But as I am running because we need to restore global leadership in this world, to protect and expand our American dream here. I am running because I honestly believe we have policies that have to be advanced, that empower our working family, re-energize our global trade and economy, that actually begins to make sure we are competitive with infrastructure and begins to get small businesses that are only creating half as many jobs for 10,000 citizens as they used to do 30 years ago. But most of all, I am running because we need to unite this country with someone who they believe is accountable to them. So come aboard with me one last time. on an aircraft carrier. 5,000 sailors, they run a nuclear reactor at 19 and a half. They fix your plane, and the pilot doesn't even think about it. They just look over, doesn't care if they're Muslim, Hispanic, or white. They just know they did it right. And so they step back, they strap that plane into a catapult. And what they do is they strap that plane into that catapult, the engines are on, and they push a button. And then they flip you into the night at 0200 in the morning. Walt Disney, no amusement park, even in Iowa, has a better ride than that. But every so often they say, stop, hold off. Special forces have been ambushed. They need an F-18, not an EA-6B over Afghanistan. Quickly, get out of that plane. But no pilot shuts off that plane until they know that they have been unhooked from that catapult. Because you shut off your engine, and all of a sudden they push that button, and you're still attached to that catapult. Off you go into the middle of the night without your engines turning for a great but a final ride. And so a young 19 and a half year old youth comes out on that deck. Could be from anywhere, Dubuque, Des Moines, Pennsylvania. Goes under the pulley of the plane where the pilot cannot see and unhooks it from the plane. And then that youth, knowing the pilot cannot see it, walks in front of that plane and gives a very simple signal like this and looks at the pilot in the eye and doesn't move until he or she, the pilot, has shut off their engines, opened up their canopy, and gotten safely on deck. And that youth, 19 and a half years old, has told us everything our country is yearning for. Go ahead, you can trust me. Because if I made a mistake, not for my word, but for my deed, and you start heading overboard to your death after you shut off your engines because of my mistake, you're going right through me, and I'm going overboard with you to my own. I have yet to meet hardly anyone who believes that anyone in Washington, D.C. would stand in front of that plane for them. I want to. Because there is no way we'll meet the defining challenges of our time without a united America, without someone who the people believe, even when disagreeing, that they can trust will always be accountable to them, above party, above any special interest, and above self. And that above everything else is why I am running for the honor of the President of the United States of America. Thank you. And I know it's hard to believe. My daughter wouldn't believe it, because once when I didn't win the Senate race after I ran against my party's desires against Arlen Specter, as you may know, the Republican who switched parties. Today, no one would take him in our party, but my poll party did, because he's the man who humiliated Anita Hill, or tried to, but I didn't want to agree with that. And I beat him, but then I lost the general race. Someone asked me, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'll probably be a Walmart greeter. But my daughter said, oh, no, nobody will ever get into Walmart. But the issue is, I have a minute and a half. Is there a question or two I could quickly answer? Yes, miss.
Okay, firstly, do you prefer admiral or representative as your title?
Do I prefer admiral or representative? My favorite title is dad, but right after that, it's Joe.
And secondly, do you support a mandatory $15 minimum wage for all interns?
Great question. A $15 minimum wage. Do I support it? Here's what I support. It's in my book. I've sold 6 copies. But I looked at it and analyzed it because I'm a Napoleon fan, where he said, I don't tell my wife this, I hope she's not listening. If I were to be in love, I'd analyze it bit by bit, because you can't ask how or why enough. It shows that if you do not raise the minimum wage above the hourly average wage, you don't lose jobs. So what is that today? $14. And then you inflate it, wages go up, and you get to your $15, based on fact of coterminous counties next to each other. And again, the book, you could be the 7th one. Last question. Yes. Yes, miss.
In honor of your daughter and other people like her, are you willing to push the Iowa Democratic Party to make the caucuses accessible?
The answer is yes, but how much more accessible? Because I did not get to speak to one, but we'll go ahead.
Okay, the virtual caucuses are...
Oh, yes, virtual caucuses are tremendous, aren't they?
No, because they haven't been beta tested for people with disabilities.
Oh, by the way, I have a AA website for disabilities. And it's being moved to AAA, and I'll be the first one on almost every website here because I'm the first congressman with Braille, moved the first money into autism. But yes, I have to agree about disability has to be all the way. Look, I'm almost done. Is the last question I think I have. How much time left?
Time out.
Hey. 1 minute. Here. Time is up. I'll end with this. I always remember the wise words of John McCain. He's a Naval Academy graduate. And what he would say one time, and whenever I ran for Senate, he would call up. And one time he called up and said, Joe, I saw you on MSNBC. And he said, you're still too long. Keep it shorter. Thank you.